welcome to the Dragon Thistle Rugby Pod. Unfortunately, I will be doing this one on my own. Unfortunately, we did miss a podcast last week. My usual co-host, Mike, unfortunately, has come down with COVID and he's been isolating last week. And obviously this week he hasn't been able to do the pod, but we didn't want to leave it 2 weeks on the bounce. Unfortunately, you've just got me this week. I do apologise, but we wanted to give you something to obviously just our opinions on the games that happened at the weekend. And obviously, with the games that happened over the weekend, Wales's quest for a Grand Slam is still on after a convincing win in Italy. And then, if you spoke to some Scotland fans, absolute disappointment again for Scotland when hopes were so high. Obviously, I'll go into the games. I'm not going to do any news or anything this week. Just because I'm on my own, I don't really droning on too long. Because we probably send you to sleep when there's both of us, let alone just me talking. So I'll jump straight into it. Obviously, the first game of the weekend was the big one, which was Wales going to Rome to play Italy. Wales coming out winners 48-7. Listen, it's almost hard to talk about the game because it was so easy, and I don't mean that to sound arrogant as much as it does. Mike texted me during the game. I know Jamie Roberts tweeted men against boys. But listen, I think it's Wales's record win away in Rome, which is it's good. Good win. I mean, got the job done early. Bonus point was sewn up in the first half. I think it was the 28th minute. I think it was sewn up. Could have been later, but I know it was in the first half. I think there was at one point, even commentators were joking about it was a point a minute. So it was job done early. We managed to get early pressure. We've started all our games really well. Helped with a 6 minute yellow card from the Italian captain, which, looking back, I'm pretty sure he'd be kicking himself, because even though Gareth Davis had took the quick tap, there was definitely cover there. From there, like you say, the game was more like a training game. Same again, it sounds so arrogant, but it really was a nice, easy day for Wales. I'd imagine they're probably a bit upset that they didn't leave, they didn't score more, really. I think we didn't score any points in the last 15 minutes of the game. So I'm pretty sure that'll disappoint them. Obviously, we left two tries out on the park with Louis Rees-Sammet, forward pass from Dan Bigger, and Josh Adams not putting the ball down when he's over the try line. I can imagine he's not going to do that again. But obviously with Maratoji's try this weekend, I reckon he scored it. But I think we've probably had our luck, as everyone keeps saying, during the tournament. So I'd imagine he's not going to make that mistake again. But yeah, I mean, really good start, got on top. Our first try with Josh Adams, Dan Bigger throwing out Finn Russell passes. I've got to be honest, I have not been Dan Bigger's biggest fan, and obviously I've been calling for Sheedy to start for a long time. But if I'm honest, I think the last two games, he's been good. I thought he played well against England for the time he was on, and I thought he played well again against Italy. Hard to judge, obviously, against Italy, because they haven't been great competition. I think they're leaking on average 40 points a game. So it does tell you, I mean, probably great for Dan to be attacking. But I think he's been really good. And I think the competition from Sheedy and the way Sheedy plays when he comes on has really been a bit of a kick up the backside for Dan. He is playing a bit more attacking. You still get the kick and chase with him, which is obviously, you know, which is really good for him. You know, somewhere, if you can attack those areas, you can. But if he seems to be looking up a bit more, playing a little bit more, what's in front of him, rather than sort of a robotic nature, which he had. So, yeah, I mean, I can only give him a lot of credit for that. you know, as the game wore on, it kind of broke up a bit in the second half. We managed to, you know, managed to empty the bench, rest a lot of key players, you know, which is good. With obviously the France game coming up this weekend, but it came a little bit of a stodgy game then. I think they were probably made. I think we made 8 substitutes in the space of 10 minutes, so it's a lot of players to come on. Still no excuse. The professionals, the opponents that were playing. But I think all. I mean, if it had been a closer game, I do think it would have been the game would have been different. You know, but they got the job done. It was a good performance. Really professional. You know, a lot of players playing well, seem to be formed, seem to be happy. I think that's the thing now. I think you can see the change. You can see where Wales are trying to play. They still haven't really put together, you know, an 80-minute performance yet. Hopefully it's this weekend. But you can see where they want to play. And I look at it as I do see where Pivak's going, but I think it's a Pivak-Gatland sort of hybrid play at the moment. But I think, you know, with the weapons we have in our back three, you know, I think the way that, you know, Pivak wants to play is really suiting them at the moment. You know, I mean, the performance from some of the players, Ken Owens, 2 tries. I think it's one of them is like this reach out for the try. One of our mates, Waggers, good listener of the pod, he sent me a picture with Long Arm the Law. I thought it was quite funny. He's got some great nicknames, hasn't he, Ken, with the Sheriff and Cannonball Ken. But he played well again. The VD got man of the match, very good. That whole back row now, you know, they're playing so well together. There's, you know, there's obviously a lot of talk about Lions and things like that. I'm probably trying not to talk too much about the Lions here because it's always good to discuss that with Mike. But all three of them, you know, are playing so well at the moment. Faletau especially, Tipperick, I mean, he's playing really well, but he's just kind of going about his business as normal. I don't think he's, I wouldn't say he's not shining, but I think obviously with Faletau and Navidi playing as they are, Tipperick's still playing just as well. I just think he's just doing what he's doing, you know. He's just an unbelievable player. You got George North acting like he was some sort of Fijian outside centre of the weekend, trying to offload the ball in contact and things like that. You can tell his confidence up. He's defending well. I still think there's question marks over Foxy at 12, although he did nice little shove on pass to North for his try. I do think, you know, that's somewhere where Wales, you know, can improve on. And listen, I'm a huge Foxy fan. I think I've said it on a couple of pods now. Still not sure about him at 12. I'm not sure he's still, he's up to the pace of the game, which is hard to say. We've won 4 from 4. But, you know, we're still, you know, I'm still not convinced. But, you know, who am I? I'm just some Welsh bloke on a podcast. So we'll see how far that goes, really. And then it's probably, you know, you've got to mention Louis Rees-Sammet. The intercept, ridiculous really when you think about it. Caught the ball with his back to their try line facing ours, actually had to turn, stand and start, and players just give up. I don't even think he got up to full speed, to be honest. Just watching the players just give up because they just knew there was no chance. Fantastic for fantasy, the Fantasy Six Nations anyway. I think most people had Louis Rees-Sammet as man of the match, so he deservedly got his try in the end. But I mean, the kid's going to be amazing. He's only 20 years old. I will say, I think it's, and we do need to be careful. He is only 20. He is going to get challenged. He's not always going to fall his way. I think you might find that this weekend, you know, marking players like Teddy Thomas and Damien Penaud. But I mean, he's going to be a superstar, you know. I think Wales have found an absolute unbelievable player. And it's not just his pace. Obviously, his pace is huge, you know. I think sometimes he might use the chip and chase a bit too much, but that's probably because he's got afterburners. But, you know, I think his kicking game, I think people test him with high balls, test his defence. And he's got a lot of experienced players around him as well, which, you know, makes a difference when you're outside George North, he's got, 101 caps now. You got Liam Williams, he's got, he must have 60-odd caps, 50-odd caps. Foxy's got to have 70. Bigger, he's got a lot of experienced players around, and I think that really helps him. Obviously with that youthful exuberance as well. So, yeah, we talk about lines, we talk about, I think it's hard to judge when you play Italy as they are at the moment. We always say, they always have that one big game. You have that, that 20 minutes of the first half when they do it. And, part of me thought, I always thought Wales would win this weekend. It's the first game I've actually tipped Wales to win this weekend. I thought straight away, is this the game they'll be targeting? They'll fancy us, trying to stop us on our Grand Slam quest. And, just from the start, I think Garbisi kicked it into the dead goal area. It just went downhill from there, to be honest. They got some really good players. They were really poor. I mean, Monte Ioni's try, brilliant individual piece of skill. He's going to be, he's such a good player. He's strong and fast. You got Varney and Garbisi. I mean, it's telling in the game. You got Garbisi, who's, this wonder kid or superstar of Italian rugby. And, I think he was off after 60, 65 minutes. It tells you everything, really. But, they've got a lot of young players. The amount of caps they had compared to Wales. Wales sort of 900 and odd, and they, I think, had 150 odd. Missing a couple of players. I know Pellegri would make a difference in their back row, but, just need to improve. Really, really poor. The discussion whether they should be in and out of the championship will go on for ages, won't it? I mean, I think with the CBC deal coming in, they're now one seventh partners. They're not going anywhere. If you looked at the weekend, Georgia struggled to beat Spain. So that's not helping Georgia either. So it's tough on Italy. I mean, they say, France took a long time to get wins when they first came in way back when. And, Italy are struggling now. It's a debate that could go on forever. You can have all sorts of different opinions on it. But, I think if you look at it, I think France put 50 on them. England put 40 on them. Ireland put 40 on. We put 48 and we should have had, that game could have been, it sounds arrogant, that game could have been a 60-point game, 60-point, 70-point game, really, if we'd have kept the pressure on, really. It kind of drifted away from us in the end. But, listen, great win. Exactly what Wales needed. No injuries. Good win. Bonus point in the bag, which means we've now got 3 try bonus points. Really, really, really big for us. I think now we've got the joint most tries we've ever scored in the tournament with a game to go. That tells you sort of where Wales are going. I'm sure people will say we've had a few helping hands on the way. But yeah, thoroughly impressive. Great way to start the Saturday. Killing me because Wales are doing well and playing so well. I'm tending to drink quite a few beers now. And this weekend it'll be worse. Kicking off 8 o'clock, I'll have to sort of figure out we're going to start drinking. Like you say, unfortunately Mike isn't here to give his opinion on the game. I'm pretty sure he'd be quite upset and scathing about most parts of Scotland's display on Sunday, with Ireland winning eventually 27-24. I'm not sure if this scoreline really reflects the game. I can only give you my opinion. I know Mike was upset. I have spoke to him, but obviously these are my opinions on the game, and I'm sure he might disagree with some of them. But yeah, in general, it was a really poor game from Scotland. I think after the England win, which is unbelievable, to see Scotland play that way, looking so dangerous. And then obviously the what happened in the Wales game, with a red card, which I don't think lost them the game, personally. But, And then, unfortunately, I think something that a lot of people aren't talking about, like France, they've had a month off playing. I know Hogan, Jonny Gray, and Finn Russell, and a few others have gone back and played for their clubs, but in general, they haven't played with each other for a month. And, some would say that's great because they can patch themselves up, they'll be nice and fresh. But if you think about it, Ireland have played in that time. All the other teams have played in that time. And you could see it in France, to be honest, in some aspects with their fitness. So maybe that had something to do with it. But, I've got to give them a lot of credit. They were 14 points down. It was 24-10 at one point. And, a lot of people like myself probably would have thought that was the way the game was going and how they were playing. The game was sewn up. But, all due respect to them, they are a good team. They do have quality, and they came back to 24 all, with a few minutes to go. Obviously that didn't go their way then, but I mean, for Scotland, with a line out where you lose 75%, you win, I think they won 2 out of 10. If you're losing, 75%, is it 2 out of 10? I don't know. Crap at maths, but I do know they lost 75% of the line outs. It's tough to win games. Tough to win games because, Scotland with the players that with their backs that they have, the line out getting the ball to Finn Russell quick is such an attacking weapon for them. If you look at the England game, it was superb. Turner had a brilliant game in the loose, but his arrows were on point. I think they won all of them, maybe lost one. I know against Wales, Wales pinched a couple, but it just seemed like Ireland knew the calls or they knew the jumpers. I think it's harsh maybe to, the hooker always gets the blame. But there was something to do with communication. Could have Townsend took Turner off earlier and brought, Cherry on. Suppose that's up for debate. But yeah, I mean, especially against Ireland, I mean, if you look at how Ireland played, they kind of reverted back to sort of a Schmidt sort of way of playing, just picking and going, using the big forwards, and it was really effective. I mean, Johnny Sexton played really well. There's a lot of people who've sort of, me included, who's saying sort of his time's done. But he played really well, really effective. But, a lot of the time he had an armchair ride. Scotland's scrum was pretty good. Nelly's a very, very good scrummager. I don't think that was an area of weakness, but they were just picking him off at the line out. Some people had sort of poor games, I mean, I put on Twitter, someone asked about line scrum halves, and I said, I thought Price had been the form scrum half, which my co-host responded with, "That's a Welsh opinion, he must be smoking crack." I'm just trying to help get more Scots on the plane because you'll only whinge when only a few go. So, but yeah, I mean, Ali Price didn't really have his best game, and getting charged down with a couple of minutes to go and conceding the turnover and the penalty, which, eventually won Ireland the game. I do believe he was really good against England. I thought he played well against us. I think a lot of people forgetting he set up Darcy Graham's try. But yeah, he had a stinker. But then, he wasn't the same. Finn Russell, big audition in front of Gatland. He had a mare as well. I think it was a couple of kicks out on the full. He kicked behind the dead ball line when he had a, kicking for the corner, and that's becoming a bit of a thing in the tournament. It can happen to anyone, but I mean, if you Sexton did play better in that duel between him and Russell. You got Cummins, didn't really have, and I don't, personally, I don't think he's been great the last couple of games. Jonny Gray, he's got to be Lions, and he's definitely growing on the Lions tour. He's been immense. It looked like he hit his shoulder early on, and I think that might have told later into the game. Maybe he could have brought him off earlier. I mean, I'm not sure. Chris Harris didn't necessarily have a great game, and his form's been, His form's been great. I mean, Mike's been talking him up a lot, and in fairness, he has been playing really, really well, attack and defence. But he didn't really have the best of games, let's say. On the flip side to that, Hamish Watson, same again. I think he's another one who's booked his place on the Lions tour. He was immense. Back row is, a hotly contested position for the Lions. We've all got our favourites. We've all got people who think we'll go, but I mean, he's generally going, and he's, probably starting in the test in the seven jersey, as good as Tom Curry's been in Tipperick. He's probably switched. Anyway, let's get off the lines. But yeah, really good, really good. I thought Hogg played well again. I think he's having a good tournament. Kicking goals, his kicks at the post were very good. I mean, impact from the bench. Good to see Hugh Jones make an impact as soon as he came on. Great try. We've been asking for Hugh to be playing for a while. He's been playing well for Glasgow. Good to see he's been rewarded this weekend. And then a special mention to Scott Steele, thrown himself into the back row. Poor guy's a scrum half, and I think he's come on now as a wing twice, and in the back row, unbelievable. You think they put Doohan in there, wouldn't you? Big lad like that, and then they put a small scrum half. But fair dues to him, he put a shift there. I don't think Scotland were ever shoved back while he was in that back row. So yeah, I can see, I can understand why Scotland fans are upset. I think I spoke to Mike about it on Sunday, sort of asked his opinion, and he kind of turned around and just said, "I spoke to the bloke next to me, and I said, as soon as they kick off after that, we'll give away a penalty," and that's what happened. I think they can take a lot out of it, though, to be honest. By coming back to 24 all, it shows there's some, fighting determination in them. I think they'd probably be, I think they'll be more upset because they were in that position. They were fighting to get back into that position, really, rather than sort of being the front runners, which they've been against England and they've been against Wales. 17-3 up, front runner again. Game turned on them, obviously, with the red card and stuff. But anyway, listen, I can understand why Scotland would be devastated. They would have targeted Wales and Ireland in these home games, after beating England in the first game. But they're still a really good team. I just think that maybe they're lacking a bit of experience all round. I know obviously Hogg and Johnny Gray going to Exeter is going to help them with the way they're winning. But yeah, I mean, listen, they're a good team. They're a good team. They just need a bit of luck, I think, Scotland. I think, we talk about Wales. We have had a bit of luck in this tournament. I'll openly admit that. Some we've made for ourselves. Yeah, it's a tough loss. It's a tough loss, isn't it? Because I think, Ireland aren't great. The forwards were really good on Sunday, but I still don't think they're a great team. And a team that Scotland can definitely beat on any given day. So they'll come back. They've got Italy this weekend, which we will move on to now. Super Saturday, although it's a bit of a weird Super Saturday because Scotland still have France to play. And I think Townsend was asked today about the fixture, and he said nothing's been agreed yet. It's a farce. Let's get something straight. It's a farce. You've got a tournament that technically should be finishing on Saturday. With COVID, it couldn't be finished. And, a lot of people are talking about getting the tournament finished next Friday, which was great. It was another weekend of rugby for everyone. And obviously a game that people want to see. There's, two of the most attacking teams in the tournament, and there's still nothing agreed. How do teams prep, with no dates or times or kickoffs being agreed? So, we talk about the Pro 14 being a bit of a farce. To be fair, this whole COVID situation has been a farce as well. I mean, my opinion, I said it straight away, not because of Wales or anything like that. Like, Scotland should be given the win, 28-0, bonus point win, just get the tournament finished. I realise that gives the title to Wales, but I said this before, the fact that we're running into a Super Saturday, a final weekend, and, you know, whatever happens on Saturday, you know, we're still waiting. There could still be waiting for a winner next weekend, or in 4 weeks' time, or, you know, in a few months' time. Really shit situation. But with the Super Saturday, you've got Scotland first up on Super Saturday, taking on Italy away. And I think he's made 7 changes to the team. Obviously, some of them were injury concerns. I mean, there was rumours that Sutherland would be injured. But I'll run through the Scotland team first. So you got Sutherland, Cherry, Ferguson, Skinner, Gilchrist, Richie, Watson, Ferguson. So the same trio in the back row. Scott Steele's finally got a start at scrum half rather than anywhere else. Hogg at 10, interesting. Doohan, Sam Johnson, Hugh Jones, Darcy Graham, Sean Maitland. The bench is George Turner, Jamie Batty, Simon Bergen, Alex Craig, Nick Hainan, Ali Price, Jacko van der Vaalt, and Chris Harris. Yeah, some interesting selections. Very interesting selections. Obviously, I think the big one looking on social media is Hogg at 10. Especially when you've got Jacko on the bench. You know, I think if you're going to play Hogg at 10 in any game, it's against this Italian team at the moment. I do find it a bit strange because Hogg's best position is 15. You want to see them runs from 15 attacking the Italians, and obviously having Jacko on the pitch. I mean, if you're fit enough to be, in my opinion, if you're fit enough to be on the bench, you're fit enough to start. I do find it a bit of a mad decision by Townsend. I say this is just my opinion, not Mike's. I'm sure he's probably, he might be happy with it. I'm not too sure. I think he probably wants to see how it plays out. I mean, he played well at 10 for the last few minutes against Ireland. Like you say, if you're going to take the gamble on Hogg at 10, it's definitely against Italy. My only thing would be defence. They're going to send a lot of big runners down him. Hogg isn't necessarily known as a great tackler. You know, Jacko might have to play after 10 minutes if he gets hurt trying to tackle one of the big Italian back rowers. But listen, throughout all these changes, you know, it's good to see Skinner back in, Ferguson's back in, which will make a huge difference, not just in the scrum, but obviously around the park as well. He's very mobile. Obviously, Dave Cherry's got his start, probably because of Turner's problems last week, which is good to see, because I think he was only started playing professionally when he was 29 or something, which is, you know, really good for him. Sam Skinner should have been in the team last week, at least on the bench. Been playing very well for Exeter. You know, Gilchrist, I mean, that pack has got enough easily to bully the Italian pack. And the back line, you know, the back line is tasted. I said earlier, brilliant to see Hugh Jones in. Both of us are massive fans of Hugh Jones. I think, you know, he's done all right for Glasgow at 15, but you can tell the difference when he's moved back to 13 this season. In the last few games he's played, I just think he adds something very much different to Chris Harris. I mean, Chris Harris has been playing out of his skin. I do believe he's more in the Scotland team to give them a bit more of defensive solidity, because that he is good with his defence. But Hugh Jones, he gives you X factor. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him tear Italy to shreds at the weekend. Doohan, the same. Probably looking at Hugh Jones in my fantasy team now. Doohan the same, and Darcy Graham the same. You know, I do think Scotland will put an absolute massive performance in, to be fair. I'm sure a lot of Scottish fans listening or on Twitter and stuff, they seem a bit doom and gloom. But listen, after watching Wales put them to bed last week. They've got nothing to play for. We always say Italy have got one game, but I generally don't think they have got that one game. I generally don't think they've got 20 minutes, as harsh as that sounds. If Scotland can get into a good start, put pressure on them early, I think it's an easy day all day. And probably Hoggy will have an armchair ride at 10. Probably look like Finn Russell and shove my words down my mouth. But yeah, there's not a lot to say really on the game because I do believe it's going to be that easy. As well as Scotland will want a really good performance as well because they still have the France game, whether it's next week or in 2 months, I don't know. But if it is next week, they'll want to put in a good performance to give them some real big confidence going into that France game. Big win for Scotland. I think did Wales by 28 last week, and I got that massively wrong. So Scotland by 35. There you go, you heard it here first. Okay, moving on to the big one. The Grand Slam decider. Well, it's not a Grand Slam decider really anymore, is it? Because of France's late loss to England at the weekend. Huge game. I've, experienced 2005, 2008, 2012, 2019. A huge difference in this is all them games was played at Millennium Stadium. This will be Wales' first time in a while where they would have to go and win a Grand Slam away from home and against an unbelievably good French team. At 8 o'clock on Saturday night. So we'll run through the team. There's probably not a lot of shocks to a lot of people. You've got Wyn Jones, Ken Owens, Thomas Francis. You've got Alan Wyn Jones, captain. Adam Beard, who's come in for Corey Hill. You've got Navidi Tips and Toby in the back row. Nothing's changed there. And the back line's the same. So Gareth Davis, Dan Bigger, Josh Adams, Foxy and North in the centres. Louis Rees-Lightning on the wing and Sanjay at fullback. So then you've got Elliot D, Nicky Smith, who comes in on the bench instead of Carey. Leon Brown, Corey Hill, Botham, Thomas Williams, Sheedy, and Hala Holo makes up the team. So not a lot of changes. Really consistent selection. I think that's the team that everyone thought they had in. I've spoken on, to people on social media, and I said it earlier about Foxy at 12. Me personally, I would have put Hala Holo or Johnny Williams in there. Pivac bigged up Johnny Williams, and since he got concussion in the first game, he hasn't seen any game time. But listen, Foxy is a world class player on his day, and the debate is whether his day is gone. He's still getting up to speed with his fitness, it seems. He seems a bit slow. And 12 really isn't his position. It isn't his position. End of. Apparently doesn't like playing there. But he's going to play there any day. But yeah, huge game. Huge game Saturday. French team announced that they have made no changes to theirs. So we know exactly what we're getting after the game on Saturday. I look at that team, I look at the 15, I do, it's talented. I think with France, you've got to meet them up front, which is a massive cliche. We've probably said it every week when we've gone through these games. A huge cliche, but yeah, you've got to, they've got a massive pack. Back row is unbelievable. If anyone's seen Cyril Bay play, loose head from at the weekend, immense. The one thing I will say on the French pack, though, the two guys, you got Willemser and Taufer Fanua, I think is how you say his name. Two units, don't get me wrong, but one of them's going to have to play 80 minutes. That's a lot of it's a lot of meat to be running around for a long time. I'd be more worried if Bernard Leroux was in. The guy's just a tackle machine. And if you've seen towards the end of the game, England game at the weekend, they did tire a lot. France, whether that's down to COVID, whether it's down to not playing for a month, whether it's down to fitness levels, I'm not too sure. I know from my experience with COVID, I struggled walking up the stairs, which is mad. I was out of breath at the top of the stairs. I know I'm not an elite athlete. So, you know, is that something that Wales can attack? I know Wales's fitness is fantastic. You know, they generally do play to the end of the game. If you can only see against Ireland with the tackles they made at the end, the tap tackle by Owen Watkin at the end. If his fitness isn't good, he's not catching Doohan there. So, potentially that's a place to that we can take advantage of. But to take advantage of being in the game and fitness, you've got to still be in the game at the 60-minute mark. And that's the thing for Wales. I was reading a stat today that said Wales concede most of their points between the 20-minute and the 40-minute mark in the first half. And that's when France scored the most of their points. It's something that apparently Pivac has been talking about in training this week. So, I mean, that would be interesting. You know, we need to get parity up front. If we get parity up front, you know, we have the players in the back line to do damage on teams. You know, we've scored 17 tries this tournament. We are playing a bit. I suppose the flip side to that is we need to stop theirs. They've got some, you know, best scrum half in the world. You've got Jalibert, who had an unbelievable game against England, keeping Ntamack out the team, which is just, you know, when you've got two fly halves that good, that, you know, Warren Master sit on the bench is unreal. You know, Vakatawa didn't necessarily have a good game last weekend, but that makes me worried. Had a bit of time off. It's his first game back, so he'll be a little bit match sharp now. You've got Fiku, Penno, Bryce Doolan, who's having an unbelievable tournament. So, such a hard game for Wales. And, you know, it's one of them. Does your heart overrule your head? I have actually not tipped Wales except when they played Italy. And if I'm going to be honest, and I tried to be straight down there, you know, trying not to have my Wales hat on all the time. I'd love us to do it. I think we have the potential to do it. I don't think there's a doubt in that. We've got enough talent. We've got enough experience. I believe in the starting 15, 14 of them have won Grand Slams before, which is really good experience. Alan Wynne-Jones has got more caps than the whole of the French pack. So experience is on our side. But a lot of them, the caveat to that is a lot of them have won them Grand Slams in the Millennium Stadium full of fans. You know, this would be different. France, you know, easily put us away in that warm-up sort of friendly we had before the Six Nations and Autumn Nations in October, November time, end of October, I believe. You know, I don't think it will be that sort of game again. You know, I think we've improved quite a lot. You know, France have improved as well. But here and now, if you were to ask me what I think, I think France might have a bit too much for us. I'd have actually preferred France to have won last week, which is really strange to say. It would be nice one, because it would be nice if it was a real Grand Slam decider, even though France have got another game to play. So that's probably a bit bullshit, actually. But plus, I think they're going to be angry after last week. You know, after losing out on the chance of a Grand Slam, I think they'll come out all guns blazing. Some of the stuff they played last week, you know, I think they'll do the same. I think they're going to try and run us off the park. And we really need to have that good start that we've had in every game, but we really need to be in touch and distance, you know. After that first half, you've got to be in touch and distance. A lot of talk this week about, you know, as long as you get a losing bonus point within 7 points, I'm not sure, you know. Part of me says it's Grand Slam or bust. But at the same time, if you look where Wales were in the autumn, most people were, you know, were probably tipping us, you know, a wooden spoon or for one or maybe two wins in the tournament. You know, so to turn around and then say, you know, we won a Six Nations title and a Triple Crown, would I take it? I probably would from where we were, but I it's got to be a Grand Slam, hasn't it? But it's a long way of me saying this. I think France are going to win on Saturday. I just think maybe if it's one step too far. Listen, I want Wales to win. I do feel we can. I just think France might be a bit too strong. Our defence has got so much better under Gethin Jenkins, but teams are still sort of, finding ways to score against us or breaking the line, and they've got some of the best strike runners in the game. So, unfortunately, I am going to say France to win. My prediction is France to, and this is going to shock a lot of people, I can't remember. I think France to win by 10. So I think, we might lose the title. But I want Wales to win. No doubt about it. I'll be screaming my head off for Wales to win. Interestingly enough, if Alan Wynne-Jones does win on Saturday, that means he will have won 4 Grand Slams, and that means he has won as many as England and Ireland have won since it's become the Six Nations, which is an unbelievable stat. He's got 150 caps. I've seen a lot of people, pundits, fans, they talk a lot of shit about him. I think he's been amazing this tournament. It would be nice for him to sort of get that record. Grand Slam, Lions captain, win a Lions series against South Africa's captain, retire. Not a bad way to go out, but France by 10, Scotland by 32. And Italy, Ireland, England, Ireland, that's a tough one for my prediction to finish off. I'd probably go England by 10. Yeah, they look good against Ireland, didn't they? Against France at the weekend. So, yeah, so those are my predictions. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm massively wrong. But as someone who, I just think I've got this feeling, I don't know. But I've had this feeling every game. I had this feeling against Ireland, I had this feeling against Scotland, England. Didn't really have that feeling against Italy, but maybe I'm just doing this now to convince myself that we are going to win. Because every time I put us down to lose, we've won. So listen, fingers crossed. It should be, fingers crossed, everything back to normal. We'll have Mike back, so you won't just have my annoying voice. We'll be talking obviously everything. Hopefully we'll be talking about Wales winning a Grand Slam. Hopefully Scotland would have had a nice convincing win. We can talk some positive about Scotland, and then let's hope Ireland beat England, to be fair, innit? Make sure you get your pound predictions in this weekend. Make sure you check your fantasy rugby. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Scotland players in the back line. So listen, thanks very much. I realise this is a little bit different, but can't be helped. Mike will be back. He's okay, by the way. I should have said that earlier. He's okay. He hasn't been too bad. So he'll be back next week. Listen, enjoy the games this weekend. Drink as many beers as you want. That's what I plan on doing. If you've got any questions, if you've got any opinions, listen, let us know what you think about the games this weekend. Let us know how they get out, what your opinions of the games after they've been played. Anything. Listen, just get in touch if you want to. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dragon Thistle Rugby, or you can find us on Twitter, which is at DT Rugby Pod. Enjoy the games this weekend. Wales to win. Big Grand Slam. Massive Sean hangover. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.